Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening to the remnant, and thanks for tuning in. Good evening, Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Richard, from Oklahoma, and Ralph.
Yeah, good evening. And I just had I wanted to take a quick second and just give you a praise report. I had to call and get in touch with your man today, Pastor Cox. I can't seem to keep your books in stock. When I came back from Oklahoma City, I brought 40 back, and I got an order today to send 20 to Alaska, and so that's a very positive. That we were sure happy to see that, and so our brothers in Alaska are staying busy and praising the Lord and spreading the word, and that's a good thing. And
well, amen. Amen. And up in Alaska, they certainly have a big territory to work.
Yes.
So, they can get busy.
They can. They
praise can. The Lord.
And that book, folks, if you're just tuning in, that book is Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It's a manual. It's a guide. It's a study guide, a help guide, it is a manual on Christian living. And so if you don't have it, I'd encourage you to order it from us or from Pastor Cox or somewhere. But, right here where I've got it open to, the number one problem, ignoring the need to be born again. And I can say a hearty amen to that, because our people don't realize. They don't realize what they have to do. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to be here, and I know we have some callers scheduled, and I'll sure let you know when they come on.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Brother Richard.
Well, Pastor, Ralph, if you don't mind, I want to read a little scripture.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right. As it seems, as I keep with my daily Bible reading plan, I just, things jump at me more and more. And here is one in Isaiah 52:7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, And that salvation is not just from the here and after, but it's in the here and now. Salvation of setting the captives free. That is what Hope is Alive is about, is to help bring the good news. And that good news is that we have power and authority in the name of Jesus. Power and authority in the name of Jesus. Because of what he accomplished on the cross, I encourage you, I imagine most of our listeners out there have read it, but read chapter 53 of Isaiah, which talks about everything was prophesied that Jesus would do, that we would have this victory. And verse 4, surely he bore our griefs himself he bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we as ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for iniquities, the chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourgings we are healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
Then at the end
by his stripes.
By his stripes. And at the end of chapter 54 of Isaiah is the perfect promise of what we can do when tongues rise up against us in curses, and the weapons of the enemy come against us. We can remember and claim chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Praise God. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ here, laid out in the Old Testament, prophesied about him and all that power that we have. And I just want to thank you and praise you, Jesus, because the more I read your word, the more I see the promises of Scripture jump out. And I love seeing them in action. Don't you, Pastor?
Amen and amen. You know, we have such a package from the cross. It's difficult to get our arms around how big that package really is.
And yes, it is.
Keep learning more of it. It's all good news. What saddens me, there are a lot of groups, there's a lot of churches around that they're into salvation, but they cut themselves short, that mm-hmm. the gospel is actually a better deal than they realize with this, the rest of what Jesus told us to do, and the healing, mm-hmm. casting out of evil spirits, getting rid of problem areas that we thought probably were our flesh and blood, but find out they're spirits. It can be cast out in Jesus' name, and then that problem is not there. That's how we get to that goal line of living a life abundant. And that's
Amen.
Why Jesus commanded us to do these things. So here we
Amen.
Are.
Amen. And
keep
and
learning.
Not only,
it's a big package.
Yes, it is. And not only did he command us, he gave us the tools to follow through with that command. And that is what Hope is Alive is about. It's testimonies of those who have use those tools to be set free from the things they torment them, whether it be depression, whether it be suicide, whether it be drug addiction, whether it be sexual lust and addictions from there. We've had many, many testimonies over the last year and a half that we've been on. We've heard, for the most part, all these the deliverances that are there, and that's just one of those many, many things that bring about life abundantly. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came so we could have life and life abundantly. He gave us those tools, and thank God, because that is the deliverance and the salvation in the here and now.
Yes, hallelujah. Well, we had a good ministry session Monday night, Ralph. We had 15 people from all over the state of Oklahoma. I don't think we had anyone from out of state Monday night, but we had them from the distant locations around the state. And we had 14 ministers and 15 people, so one of our ministers had to double up and take two. We love the one-on-one, but sometimes, you know, our ministers, seldom does everybody come on a Monday night, but some do, actually. But generally, there's some that can't make it every Monday night, so we never know exactly the number. But what amazes me is how the Lord sends in around a dozen people, different people, each Monday night from different places all around the country. But we never get overwhelmed. Occasionally, we've had up in the 20s, but generally, it's a match. We're really close with the number of ministers we have, for those that want ministry. And it's just, we've done this now 33 years. And it's always been around a dozen or 15. So it's something supernatural about it, I believe. Praise God.
I did a
4-hour Skype deliverance today with a man up in New Jersey, and that went well. It went longer than I had anticipated, but I'll have to admit I found out he likes to trout fish and he turkey hunts, so that occupied a certain amount of the Skype time until we got down to business, you know. But he yawned him out. He had big yawns. You know, I could see it on the Skype as the spirits came out and had 3 dozen plus, which is normal for most people we minister to. He was already a born-again Christian and even spirit-filled, speaking in tongues. So went very well.
Praise the Lord.
I'll probably have him on the show here before long.
Praise the Lord. That is a new tool that your part of the ministry has, is the ability to minister through Skype. How long have you been doing that?
Well, actually, I've done it off and on for some time, but we've gotten more aggressive about it. And
okay.
We can do them on FaceTime with the iPhones. And of course, we've done them with telephones for years, decades even. And it's not as good as the one-on-one, but, you know, when people have to travel a long ways, that's a pretty good tool.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Saves a little time and gas.
Well, yes. Amen.
So, speaking of tools, this is something that Hope is Alive does provide, and we have the tools that are on the internet, which you can reach for yourself going to deliveranceusa.com. And another tool that you can hand out if you're not really sure how to talk to somebody, you can go as simply as letting them know about the Scriptures for America Broadcasting Network website. You can give them that website. You can give them the time that Hope is Alive is on. You can pass that information on. I passed that out 3 times in the last couple days. Hopefully those people are listening. I had an opportunity to witness some things about deliverance to some individuals, gave them some the tools as far as the websites, the materials that are on the internet, and that's available for everybody out there. So if you're one that's really kind of shy, maybe don't know how to talk to people or don't really know how to explain it, you can always give them, have them tune in. They can listen. If by chance that you're someone who gave your testimony or knows some good testimonies, you can always go to the archives and let them know which week you want them to hear. I often give out the date of 12/12/14/16, which was my testimony. That way they can hear from someone they know and have talked with. It kind of hits home a little bit more when you can hear the testimony of someone that you know. Because it's not, oh, I heard of this guy. It's like, hey, I know that guy. Hey, he dealt with some of the things that maybe I've been dealing with, and they can overcome that way. So don't feel that you have, you're out there all alone and don't have the tools, because Scriptures for America has teamed up with Deliverance Ministries, and we have done our best to try to get the stuff available on the internet. So all that you have to do out there is possibly just hand out a card, give out a website, or something to that effect.
Well, yes, and there's nothing like testimonies, because a person really can't argue when someone says, look, here's how I was, what was going on in my life, my problem areas, here's what it's like when I got ministered to and even felt these spirits come out, and here is my life now, you know. And yeah, there's no way to say to the person, no, you're not. So
<Yeah. laughs>
you can't really argue with a testimony, and if you hear enough of them, it starts soaking in. You know, I did a radio show here in Oklahoma City 22 years, 5 days a week, just a 15-minute show, but I interviewed people that had gotten set free. So I pumped those into the Oklahoma City area for all that time, and, of course, that stirred our ministry up a lot.
Okay. Well, Pastor, I believe we have Bill on the line. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Can you hear me?
Hi,
good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks for calling in, and really appreciate it. And Bill, if you could go ahead and just share how you first heard about this area of the gospel called deliverance, and then any experiences that you've seen or had.
Yes, sir. I have known about the deliverance for many years. I had never needed to look into it myself until about a month ago. I ran into some problems that I'd never run into before, and started being tormented in my mind. And so I spent about a month in the Word, trying to discover what to do and how I might get the Lord to help me with this issue. I didn't really know what was going on. I was raised up in a Holy Spirit background. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I have run into trouble before, and I had always attacked it with the Word and so forth. But this was a different situation, and I couldn't have any effect on the problem, and I was really having a bad tormenting issue. And one day I came home from work, and I was sitting there, and I really believe the Lord just said, I want you to turn on your computer. I want you to type in Deliverance Ministry and see what comes up. And I did that, and I found your ministry, Mr. Cox, and I heard the Lord say clearly in my head, you need to get in your truck right now. It starts at 5:30, and get down there tonight. I'm going to get you some help. And so I did.
Wow. Praise God.
And I was desperate, you know, and like you said, people get desperate, and I was desperate for some help. This was a kind of a torment that I had never experienced before, and I was suffering. And so I came down there and went through your prayer service and your ministry and the preliminary part you do, and then I got with a minister, and went through your program, and it was really interesting. I didn't really notice or feel anything different until he started talking about witchcraft, and I started getting kind of sick, and feeling kind of sick in my stomach, and I was kind of choking, and like I told him, I have a family member and another group of people that I know are actively involved in witchcraft directly against me. And when he hit that on his ministry chart and started dealing with it, I started having issues. I could there was something going on, and my eyes were watering, I was coughing, I was choking, and I got some definite relief right after that. And then he went on through the rest of the soul tie ministry and so forth, and I felt a little bit of relief that night, but it wasn't until the next morning that I woke up refreshed, and I felt definitely different. I felt definitely better. And so I went on through the week, and the torment wasn't gone. And what I describe as the torment was I basically had a one day I was sitting working at my computer, and all of a sudden a loud voice came on my head, and I'm not kidding you, almost a slideshow began playing in my mind's eye, and every torment and terror, everything I've ever been scared of my whole life, started playing 24/7 in my mind's eye, and I could not stop it, and it was absolutely terrifying. Well, after my first ministry session, this came back even stronger. And I knew, like your Richard said, he said it's like an onion, and you just got to kind of peel them off a little at a time if you can. And that's kind of what happened. So I went down again a week later, actually I skipped a week, and I went down again, and I had a different minister. And he was going along, and he hit unforgiveness. And I had gone through unforgiveness the first time. But the unforgiveness was for my family member, and he spotted it. And he started going in, and he started shooting at that. And come to find out, that family member that's doing witchcraft against me, I was holding serious, major unforgiveness there. And it was amazing what happened. The Lord actually revealed to me when he started attacking that, and he took me through a forgiveness prayer and actually forgive as best I could and bless them. And that unforgiveness dropped, went away. Something lifted off of me. And then the Lord revealed to me my heart, almost like a picture in my mind's eye. The slideshow of evil, so to speak, went away. And then I could see my heart in my mind's eye. And there were three arrows sticking in it. And the minister said, now the Lord's going to heal that heart. And you've got arrows in your heart. You've got that unforgiveness. You've got injury. And I'm not kidding you. It's like he pulled those arrows out one at a time, and come to find out later, each one of those arrows was the three people that I had unforgiveness for. And I didn't realize that. The number three, I didn't even know what that meant. But I'm not kidding you. The next day, when I woke up, that night too, I was feeling way better. I mean, the torment was gone. The black cloud of torment. It was just much relief. It made me a believer then of this deliverance ministry for sure.
Praise God, Bill. That was an awesome testimony. Wow. Anyone hearing that would have a hard time doubting that this is not real. And just as you experienced that, that's quite common what you went through there. And sometimes we do have to come back, or people do. And, you know, none of us have this down to perfect science, but we can sure take a swath in one evening. But then we fine-tune if people have to come back until we get them free. The good news being we're the ones with the big power in Jesus' name to deal with these things, and we just keep at it till we get the victory. Well, that's so exciting, Bill. That's awesome. And it wouldn't surprise me with the what you've learned thus far that you might go through our training and learn to help other people.
Yes, sir. I went to one training meeting so far, and I'm going to continue to go because I definitely need to know more about this subject. For one thing, to keep myself free, but also to help others. And I'm very grateful for the Lord leading me to your ministry.
That's really where our ministers have come, most all of them, through and had ministry and got free, and then they realized that they know, there's a lot of people around them that have the same kind of problems, and as they got free, then they realized, well, maybe I should learn this. And of course, by the fact that we learn it, we all got ourselves free. The enemy, after all, we're in the war zone till we go to heaven. So a Christian that does not have an understanding of what we're talking about here tonight is very vulnerable to the demonic. And I've heard stories of even different denominational churches sending missionaries overseas They never were trained in spiritual warfare and deliverance, and they didn't last very long. So many of them would fall out because of the curses put out and all that. Well, you know, we can break all that. And that's why once you learn this, you can prevail and start living life abundant. Hallelujah. Well, it sounds to me like you're starting to live life abundant, Bill.
Yes, sir. I'm starting over. It's like my eyes have been cleared again. I can see the word better. It's really amazing. I'm really pleased at the result.
What would you say to anything else you'd like to say to the listeners out there concerning this area that's called deliverance?
Well, like you said, Mr. Cox, the one area that is absolutely critical and important here, and you might quote in the scripture, I don't know what it is off the top of my head, about the having unforgiveness and it releases the tormentor.
Yes, Matthew 18:34-35.
Yes, sir. That right there is what I experienced. And I was holding unforgiveness, and I thought that I was forgiving. You know, you can do it in your mind's eye. You can try to say it, but it's got to be for real, or it doesn't work. If you can break through that unforgiveness, and if you're holding it, it can be deceptive. But that's why I had to go down there twice. Once I realized that I wasn't truly forgiving and actually did it, that's when it started happening. That's when the legal right to be there was taken away from those demons. And then, bam, they had to go. But until I forgave, they had a legal right to be there.
And yes, so, that's exactly
I've
right.
I've learned a lot down there, and I'm going to continue to go down there.
Well, great, Bill, and you'll be ministering before you know it as you go through the training. We have that every Monday night, and it's free for people that want to learn, and people are from churches all over the Oklahoma City area, and those that come for ministry, of course, are from everywhere. So we're not any one church. We're really the body of Christ versus the enemy. And I think that's kind of neat and exciting that we can find ourselves as a special commando unit, special ops, if you will, in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Well, thanks so much, Bill, for calling in. That testimony was a blessing, brother, and it edified many listeners out there.
Okay, yeah. Glory be to God. And I thank you for having me.
And I'll see you Monday night.
Okay, good night.
Okay, good night.
Praise God, what a great testimony.
Wow. And you know, that's so typical of many. And that unforgiveness, of course, is the biggest of the 15 doors that we've identified that can allow demons to come in to torment Christians. So, you know, it's a big job. Most Christians never get their freedom of life. It's a small percent of people that really do get free, where they can live that life abundant with joy and peace and happiness and go forward in their destinies using their God-given gifts. Imagine the body of Christ getting freed up, what we'd be like.
What we could accomplish in this country, the things that we overcome, if we weren't having to deal with our own personal issues, we'd be able to deal things more on a local level with our own local governments, our state governments, and on a national level. If we didn't have to be dealing with constant torment in our own lives, we could focus completely on the kingdom of God.
Yes. And that's, of course, why Jesus commanded believers to cast out demons and do this type of ministry, is because people's gifts are blocked and they have a wall up from the demonic that's blocking them from going forward. And once you get free, then hold on to your hat, because here you go. And that's my testimony. That's many testimonies that had we not gotten free, and in my case, especially the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, I wouldn't be on the show tonight.
Amen. I want to revisit Matthew 18:34. Maybe there's some leaders, listeners out there that are tuning in for the first time or haven't really been keeping along with the deliverance there. But what he's talking about is the parable that Jesus gives about the man who had owned 10,000 talents, and he was forgiven of that. And for those that maybe not know, a talent is worth more than 15 years' wages of labor. I did my math on that one time, and that amounted to several billion dollars in today's age. And he was let go, and then he went and roughed up a guy that owned him just a 100 denarii, and a denarii was just a day's wages. And, of course, this is an analogy of what Jesus forgave us, and then we going out and holding against other slaves that belong to Jesus, other people within the body. But it says in Matthew 18:34, "And his Lord, moved with anger, handed them over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart or from your heart." And torturers, tormentors, might want to argue that this isn't the demonic realm. I obviously think it is. But either way, I don't want to be handed over to anything that's going to torment or torture me. I would rather just work on forgiveness and doing my part in what's commanded of me of forgiving those of the body, forgiving those that you're related to, forgiving those that you come in contact with. It's just, in my opinion, it's best to forgive and to realize out there forgiving does not mean the person is never held accountable for what they did. It just means that you've forgiven them for what's been done and trusting in the Lord or trusting into the authorities to take care of it.
Yes. And you know, Brother Ralph, talking about the tormentors that will come upon you if you don't forgive, we so typically see people that come in for ministry that have panic attacks and all kinds of fear. They've got suicidal thoughts, jealousy and envy. They've got many infirmities, which we find is a huge door for the unforgiveness. We see people set free through the years through the forgiving. Once they forgive, they get healed. And even without the laying on of hands, of course, we always lay on our hands, but that's exactly what Jesus did in Luke 13:11 and 12. There was a woman in the synagogue that he prayed for, and he first said of her problem that it was the tormentor sent of Satan, a tormentor sent of Satan, an evil spirit. And so, you know, it's not worth it to carry unforgiveness and allow spirits to come in. But what did Jesus do with it? Well, he finally loosed it out of her. He cast it out. And he laid on of hands also. But, you know, it's right there. All we got to do is learn it and do it, and people get free. And we've seen that now. I have for 39 years. And the ministry on Monday nights, 33 years. So it drives us on because we keep seeing it work.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I witnessed to a woman today. Spirit just had me, one of my customers had me to start talking with her. And I sensed that it was something that she needed to hear. And she was talking about her mom had fibromyalgia. And we had talked some things about possibly that may have happened. And she said that, you know, it's funny you bring up forgiveness, because I've been telling my mom for quite some time she needed to work on forgiving such and such for what happened. And I just sense that if this woman can overcome this part of the forgiveness in her life, that my fibromyalgia will be quickly cast out of her.
Oh, yes. That's a very common spirit. We've seen many, many fibromyalgia spirits, and they so often are keyed to the unforgiveness. You hit it right on the head. And so just another one that the majority of people, again, never hear about what we're talking about and never follow the word to do these things.
And that's why we're doing this, so we can testify to it, because someone had to teach me, someone had to teach you, and in fact, someone had to teach the person that taught you. So this is part of spreading the good news, where we are ambassadors in Christ, and we go out announcing the things that the supernatural works that are available out there in the name of Jesus. And it's just a fantastic, fantastic ministry, a fantastic part of the gospel, and just so thankful someone showed it to me. And we have Nancy on the air. Nancy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good evening.
Hi, Nancy. Well,
yes,
good.
Can you
and
hear
Nancy,
me?
You might back. Yeah, I can hear you. You might back away from the phone just a little bit. It sometimes distorts if we're too close. Yeah,
all right.
Perfect.
Is that better? Is that
yeah,
better?
You sound great.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yes. How's it going?
Nancy, well, going
yes.
good. We're having the excitement of talking about the Word and what our Jesus did for us at the cross and how people can be free even from evil spirits. And so I wonder if you might share, Nancy, how you first learned about this works of Jesus that's called deliverance and then any experiences you've had.
Well, all right, about 20 years ago. Can you hear me all right now?
Yes, you were distorting just a little. Keep the phone away from your mouth
okay.
a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah,
about 20 years ago, we went to see Everett Cox Ministries, and we were referred, and we wanted to learn, and boy, did we learn. Everett, you ministered to us and brought great revelation about a Christian having a demon in their flesh. So, am I coming across all right? Can you hear?
You're still distorting some, so you might hold the phone further away, if you can, from your mouth, and that should work.
Okay.
That sounds good.
All right. Is this better?
Well, still, just don't talk quite as loud. That would work, too.
Okay, Everett. I just want the people to be able to hear.
Yeah,
so
that's perfect
all right now.
Yes.
Okay.
That's great.
We left your ministry and started sharing about a Christian having a demon, and we got a lot of conflict. But because of the fruit that would come from my husband and I ministering to people, they were drawn and they came. And after several years, I was a barber. And I was cutting hair, and a person came in my shop, and they offered me magnets to put in my shoes. And they said it would bring me great energy and healing power through my body. And my guard was left down, so I readily did this, and it did bring great energy and strength to my body. So I started selling the product. And one night at 3 a.m, God woke me and said, "This is an abomination." I said, "What, Lord?" He said, "You doing these magnets, you used to pray for people and tell them about the healing stripes of Jesus." And I got up, my husband and I, and we burned everything. And I repented. And then a few weeks later, in a church service, there was a prophet who called my husband and I out, and he started to prophesy how God was going to use us in a great deliverance ministry. When he said that, a power within me started erupting. I fell to my hands and knees, and I started to roar like a lion. It was terrible. I said, "Oh God, what is happening to me?" And then the demons started to choke me so I could not breathe. And the prophet took authority and cast them out. The whole time I was on my hands and knees, I said to Lord, "Why are you doing this? These people have trusted me. They know me. And why are you having this happen?" And he said to me, "They know you as a wonderful Christian lady who loves God. The reason this is happening, I want them to see how when you open the door for a demon, being a spirit-filled Christian or not, the flesh will give him place, and see how you get deliverance." And I said, "Okay." And that is my story that started many, many more successful roads for me. They did hear what I had to say about the flesh man and giving place, and it was great for the ministry.
Hallelujah. And that's exactly, of course, scriptural, for the Bible says, "Do not give place to the devil." And that's what had happened. You had opened the door, and it's, there are many doors that are pretty pretty easy to open. So,
yeah,
that was a good example of how that happened, and the fact that everyone knew you, that you were a strong, spirit-filled Christian, then that let that be a lesson to them, and
yes,
to all of us, for that matter.
One lady,
yes,
challenged me and said, "You must have been very backslidden." I said, "No, I am not." She said to me, "They cannot cross the bloodline." So I said,
yeah,
"Holy Spirit, what do I say?" And the Holy Spirit said, "Ask her how sickness crosses the bloodline." When I asked her that, she said no more.
Yes. That's, the Lord put it to her, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that's exactly right, of course.
They get religious, Everett. They get so religious, and they don't understand and the difference with the flesh that has enmity against the spirit.
Yes. And many people don't think about us having three parts, Nancy. You know, we have the spirit, which of course is secure in Jesus as a born-again Christian, and our spirit will go to be with the Lord should the body die. But the demons hang out. We see this all the time. They hang out in the body. They even talk out of the person at various times. And many people in ministry, they feel the demons moving in their body, and then they yawn, cough, or burp, and feel them come out. They're obviously in the body. And then they obviously can torment the mind, will, emotion part of us the soul area. So it's the latter two parts there, the body and the soul, where the demons hang out. And people, when they say things like that, they're not thinking about how we have three parts. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, in fact, points out that we have these three parts.
Amen. Amen. And Paul himself said, I do the very thing I hate, but I find that it is sin that dwells in me. And that dwelling is just what a demon wants to do. And then
yes.
Paul says, thank God for Jesus who delivers me.
Yes. And many people have heard about Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. And Paul kept praying to the Lord three times to take it. And the Lord kept saying something back to him three times. He kept saying, Paul, my blood is sufficient for thee. And what I see the Lord was saying was, Paul, I did it for you at the cross. Quit asking me. You have the power in my name. Now you go do it and get rid of that. And apparently he did, because we don't read about the thorn in the flesh later in the scriptures.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Even Paul said it was a tormentor sent of Satan.
Yes. Yes.
So, there we are, and if only we could get this out to the body of Christ more. Of course, that's why we're on the radio show tonight, is trying to do that and to spread the good news that we can be free of problem areas that we thought were us, and they're actually demons. We can get rid of them and start living life abundant. Well, Nancy,
yeah.
Are you going to start, you're from Lawton, Oklahoma, southwest part of the state.
Yes.
Are you going to kind of get in the saddle again and start setting people free down there?
My husband passed away 2 years ago, and I felt like I am shrinking back, because having a team mate, but the Lord does not want me to shrink back. I'm going to try to come to your classes, and I will see where God leads.
You know, you guys could get a team going down there at Lawton after you get through the training, and Lord knows how much need is there, and start setting people free. You've got a number of lady friends that probably would join you in that.
Yes. God will make a way, I am sure.
Yes. And you probably need that activity. I'm sorry to hear about your husband passing away 2 years ago. But to rise above that, you know, you have God-given gifts. You know that. And when you put them to use and you go about doing the Father's business and doing the commands of Jesus, well, you start feeling life abundant again, amen?
Yes. Yes, Everett. And
well, that would
I'm
be great.
Very blessed.
You're coming back.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I'm very blessed for your ministry, and I do pray for your ministry.
Well, thank you, Nancy. Praise God, we all need that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy,
more people are wanting to come and learn, and I will be bringing them.
Oh, yes, that's right. You called in. There's five of you coming up, isn't there?
Yes, maybe six. I will let you know.
Okay. Well, great. That could be the start of your group down there.
Yes. Amen.
And the fulfillment. You know,
amen.
We all lose people in our lives. I lost a daughter, as you might remember. And
yes.
But there's something about doing the Lord's work and ministry that it's the greatest therapy ever. And the fulfillment, and also the feeling of net worth, feeling of that you're worth something that I seem to get that I never got out of the business world or the things I've done in the past, the flying and skin diving, etc. This is the greatest fulfillment, you know,
oh,
that
my.
I've ever had. So.
That's good.
As you know, I was a mortgage banker, for CEO of a mortgage banking company for 26 years here in
yes.
Oklahoma City, and there was a lot of fulfillment. I specialized in commercial loans myself, and it was exciting to close a large loan. But the fulfillment that goes with ministering to somebody is greater, much greater.
Yeah. It.
So I think
needed.
You'll find that exciting.
Are we about done? Do I have any more time?
Yes.
Yes, you do, Miss Nancy.
I had a vacuum sweeper salesman came to my house. I did not want him to come, but God said let him come. So I listened to him. In the middle of him trying to demonstrate and tell me about the vacuum sweeper, a sentence of curse words would come out his mouth. Then he would hold his mouth and say, "Excuse me." Then he would go on with his speech. And I readily knew that God wanted me to teach him about deliverance. When he got done, he was so sad that he acted that way. He said, "I am so sorry. I don't know why I do that." I said, "John, let me tell you why you do that." He was a Christian. He could not be in any kind of ministry because of doing that. So I taught him about the demons, and he knew a little about angels, but never heard about demons, unclean spirits. So when I gave him a teaching, we took authority. The boy was set free. I heard from him weeks later. He was in tears. He could now teach children and go on with his ministry.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yes.
That's awesome, Nancy. See,
yes.
There you are,
yes.
Using your God-given gifts. And how much fulfillment did you get out of that?
Well, I cried a lot myself.
Praise God.
And I have to always examine myself because I want to be as clean in my heart as I can so that I can be an example and flow better in the spirit with my own vessel being clean.
Praise God.
So
well,
I do regular checkups. I have friends
okay.
that help me if they see something not right.
Yes. And,
do you
and that's wonderful
that?
To have people around us. Oh, absolutely. And, of course, the ministers, all of us get prayer right along. The good news being we know how to pray for each other. And if something raises its ugly head, we know how to deal with it. And it's
yeah.
great being around people that know deliverance. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's a great testimony, Nancy. Thank you for sharing
Thanks.
That.
Thank you, Everett.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Nancy. Have yourself a good evening.
Bless
yes,
thank you,
you
so much for calling in. And I'll see you Monday, Nancy.
Okay. All right. Bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Everett, I'd like to point out something that we learned there from Miss Nancy, that when she felt uneasy or felt something in the spirit maybe she didn't like about that salesman, she still listened to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said, let him come back. Because it seems to me that God was wanting to have this man set free and put him there. And what we can learn from this is she didn't sit there and get judgmental. She didn't condemn this man. She didn't do all the things that sometimes we'll sit back in our own self-righteousness and think, well, that person can't be a Christian. They wouldn't behave that way. She gave the man the tools and used her authority and power in Jesus to help set that man free.
Yes.
To help set him free. And that is just a wonderful testimony, something we can learn from there. That,
absolutely.
That a lot of times we can look at somebody and say, what is it that's hindering them? And listen to the Spirit.
Wow.
The Spirit will give you that opportunity to help free that person. To help free that person.
It's a lot easier to forgive people when you realize they've got their share of demonic activity that's causing them to do those strange things. And we run into the profanity spirits constantly. So it's just another one that can be cast out among the several dozen that are typically there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe we're just about out of time. Thank you again for another wonderful evening. Great testimonies we had from Mr. Bill and Miss Nancy. And again, that is Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which can be available at Scriptures for America. And the website is deliveranceusa.com. All the tools are there that you would need. So you don't have to make that trip out to Oklahoma City. You're obviously welcome if you want to come. He won't turn you away. But for some people, that may not be a trip they can make. It's not just a trip from down the road like Ms. Nancy is bringing her six friends. It could be that you're clear across the country. So we have that available there. There's been a lot of hard work and time put into those things so we can help set people free.
Amen. Well, God bless you, brother, and we'll all keep going forward in Jesus.
Yes, praise the Lord. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in.
Good night.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. Strong. When there is silence, hope gives a song.